Hello, this is Richard Mortimer on the weekly Platinum Coaching Q&A call. And I've actually got a special call tonight because we've got a guest speaker with us who's going to participate in some part of the call, and that's actually a friend of mine who lives locally. That just happens to be the case. But Trevor, and we were talking the other day, and he mentioned something that I think is very important for all the people to hear. So that's going to be part of the call. Because if I'm not mistaken, we've now, most people have got to lesson four, which is the sales letter. So you're now doing your sales letters, and then tomorrow and the following days, as people get the fifth lesson, you'll be looking at the email, which we did briefly mention last week. So what I'd like to do this evening is cover the sales letter, because obviously that is a very important part of your business. Really, if you have a good sales letter, then I'm not going to say the product's not important, because of course it is. If the product doesn't match up to what you say in the sales letter, then you're going to get refunds and all that kind of thing. And even if you don't put a refund on your sales letter as part of your offer, then people can go to PayPal and actually raise a complaint. So effectively, there is a refund whether you like it or not in the PayPal. You know, they, one thing to bear in mind, just in passing, is that PayPal is not a bank. A lot of people think it's a bank, and it is not. It's just a website that deals with payments. It's a payment processor, effectively. So in a sense, it's like I call it an intermediary between you and the bank. But they do. Because they are so popular and so well known, what happens when people are in that position like they are, they've got the market share, they tend to get quite rigid on the way they work. That's just normal for businesses. When you get lots and lots of customers, you get more open to it being abused, and therefore you have to make tighter rules. The same with these articles. As an article directory, their terms are the harshest. That's putting it negatively. You might actually say that in one way they're the best, because it does weed out those people who would abuse the system. But that's PayPal, and there is actually redress. So you want to make sure that your product matches what you're saying in the sales letter. But you're not going to sell anything without a good sales letter. That's the front end. That's the point of entry where people are meeting you as a marketer, and then long term somebody that can help them. And really, that's another purpose, a sort of under purpose, if you want, or a secondary purpose of the sales letter. Not only do you want to sell the product, but you even, to a greater or lesser extent, you want to sell yourself and distinguish yourself in your sales letter. You wouldn't make this your main aim, but I'm just saying this as something to bear in mind when you're creating a letter, that there is more to it than just getting to buy the product. You want to introduce yourself as somebody who knows your niche, you can help them. And therefore, A, that makes that initial sale easier for them if you're somebody they can respect and you have credibility. And then also, you're going to make more money from that one person on the back end, because they'll upgrade with you and buy bigger courses and more courses they can get even a better result with, which is, of course, what they want in the end. And you don't know what people's financial position is as they come into your funnel. But you've potentially got people in there who will buy coaching from you and buy high-priced products because they really want the results and they've got the resources to be able to do that. So this is the importance of the sales letter. It's the entry point for people coming from the traffic source, whatever it might be, finding you in Google, finding you from an article, finding you from YouTube, if you've got a video and you do video marketing as a way of traffic, all these kinds of different traffic methods, you're not in a control in a way. I know there's a level of control, and obviously you're using traffic tactics to get people to come to your website, but this is the point of entry where they really need to be engaged with you as somebody that can meet their needs and solve their problems. That's what the sales letter is doing, really. In fact, all those things I've said are quite a good way of thinking about it. You know, it's more than just selling. So what I'd like to do now is just bring Trevor in, and we can discuss what we actually mentioned the other night, and then perhaps I'd take that a bit further as well. And then I've got something that I'd like to bring in a little bit later to sort of wrap up, although it might be quite extended, that portion. So Trevor, just remind me what we covered the other evening when we talked about this.
We covered different styles of sales letter, because my sales letters are almost anti-sales letters. So this kind of style that Paul Myers does, really, where it's chatty, folksy, you don't think you're being sold to, and suddenly you've sold it yourself.
I see, yeah. So there's like a kind of engagement with the marketer.
Yeah, for those that actually take the trouble to read through, because a lot of people read the headline and then skim down to the buy button.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, that might go against people's grain if they think, well, I've gone to all the effort to write a sales letter and come up with a good headline, and then they're buying straight away. But actually, that probably just proves that they can see straight away that you've got what they need. So you mustn't worry about that. That just always happens, doesn't it, that you get the scrolling.
Yeah, there's acknowledged different paths through a sales letter. Headline and subheadlines used to be the thing in print, where you just read the subheadlines and think, okay, that fits. And other people will actually read the whole shooting match and make a decision from that. Other people will just read the bullets. And others, if they know you, will just read the headline and go, boy, okay.
Yeah, so that's nice. It's good you're saying that, because that's actually very helpful. That's really just proving that you do need to have those different elements on the sales letters. There's a balance to be had, I think, in having a flow in your sales letter. I'm going to cover this a bit more later in the call, when we talk about people coming into the sales letter from your traffic source and then going into your emails, when they go onto your email list and start interacting with them and then upgrading. You know, I wrote a long email earlier on today and covered this, that you want that to be a seamless experience. But I'll go into that a bit more. But this is very important here, that you know, you've got the different elements of the sales page. You've got the headline, the subheadline, you've got the body, the bullets, you've got the, you know, the call to action, maybe the refund or guarantee you might want to put in there. And you want that to flow, but at the same time you want those different elements, because like you've just said, you know, people process information different ways. People are looking for different things. Some people like, you know, just look at the list of the videos, for example, if it's a video, step-by-step video course. They like to look at the videos like you were talking the other night. They like that. So, like you say, they go to the headline, oh, this looks like what I'm looking for. Scroll down, oh, here are the bullets, let's look at the product. And they spend actually quite a bit of time, perhaps, looking at the detail of the product. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And straight to the buy button. So they've almost like, you know, done a hop into the middle of the sales page to the bullets, and then onto the buy button, wherever that might be.
Yeah, they'll do that. Some people use images to do what's known as a pattern interrupt. So in other words, you're scrolling down, looking at block of text, and then suddenly, oh, it's an image or a different coloured box.
Yeah, yeah.
And the classic are, I think it's Claude somewhere, Scientific Advertising. It's a free ebook nowadays because it's out of copyright. If you really want to get in the detail of that, he was the first person to sell full page adverts for beer, and he went into the whole thing of how they pumped up the water, how they did the hops, and they were saying, well, everyone else does it, and to which he said, yeah, but no one says it. So you tend to assume stuff in the industry as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting.
Ted Nicholas, who was another fantastic copywriter, will go through and read a whole book, and then you might pull out something from page 27 or 57 or whatever it is, and decide that's the hook that's going to be the headline.
I see.
But he's expensive. I think he starts around about $40,000-$50,000 in a royalty.
That's for one sales page, is it?
Yeah, and they win 4 times out of 10. He's a world-class copywriter. So
yeah.
We're not necessarily going to be as good as that.
No. And I think, you know, people don't need to be daunted by that. That is a very, very, very high end. And, you know, this is really what's so important about this coaching is that, it's designed in this way. You know, you've got to get that matrix done. You've got to get the topics and the subtopics, not only in your mind, but down on paper. And it's not setting concrete, but it's putting something down. It's actually creating, like we've been saying. The next step, making the product, you know, it's not how the website works. People would think, well, the first thing you do is you set up your squeeze page and you get your subscribers coming on. Well, that's going to be dealt with later in the course. It's a few weeks away. And it's because it's this the core part of your business, your products, the number you've got, the quality of them, the price you're charging for them, how they can help people. That's the core. And part of that is the sales letter and getting people to actually write a sales letter. You know, the fourth week of the coaching course, they're writing a sales letter. That is absolutely fantastic. It's so important that people do this and don't try and skip it, you know, and really, really try hard. I mean, obviously, the lesson does have a link to Marlon Sanders, what's it called? This is a sales letter creator, isn't it? It's like a bit of software, I think, where you put in various parts. But I would actually urge people to try and write one themselves. And if you find that you can't do it, the work you've done in trying, you can then put into Marlon's sales letter creator and actually probably make that you know, work right off the bat. Whereas you might have to play around with it a little bit if you haven't even tried to do your own sales letter.
Yeah, there's also headline generators on the web. They'll help you create a headline. Or the other one I find useful is just go to Amazon and look through the magazines.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've just got the magazines page up and you've got 50 best kitchen ideas.
The one thing people can do, of course, go on.
103 cheese recipes.
Oh, yeah.
Headline on Food Magazine.
Really?
Cosmopolitan has your best sex ever, so they obviously know what their readers want. Another one's got better energy every day. So if you want inspiration, just go to Amazon's magazines section. You'll get the best-selling magazines come up first, because that's what Amazon do. And you'll get the tested headlines that the magazines have used.
And, of course, the thing is that what people can do is they can go to... other websites in their niche and look at what other people are doing, you know, and that's very helpful to sort of see how other people are doing things.
Definitely. I mean, as much inspiration as you can get, but magazines, they have to stand out on a newsstand, so they've tested. The one that's classic
right.
is Men's Health apparently uses different headlines for the newsstand than it does for subscribers.
Oh, yeah.
Because subscribers, they only want to get open the wrapper, whereas a newsstand, they rotate through about four that they know just get the best sales.
Okay, that's interesting.
And there are, I haven't got the link, but there are websites that are actually analysed that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm just doing a quick flick through one of my sites. It's quite an old one, so can't quite see, but I'm looking for, I've got a PDF. Or it might even be a Word document, but anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a document with sort of selling words like explode, you know, those very emotive words that people use in copywriting. I remember my copywriter often used through the roof, put your sales through the roof, you know, explode your traffic, that kind of thing. A marketer that I knew, he had a website called Your Traffic Explosion. You know, that it's so emotive, that, isn't it? It's a picture. That's what I want. I want an explosion of traffic. If you've got a little bit of understanding of traffic, you know, you can identify with that, the explosion. You know, and your headline could be, explode your traffic now. That is actually quite a catchy, you know, you've got an idea what you're getting. it's someone's going to give you some traffic tactics that you can get an immediate result with, sort of thing.
Definitely, headline is the most important bit. If you've written something and it's working sort of okay, the thing to do is test it against another headline. Don't change anything else, because it's what most people read.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So in other words, if you, I mean, one way you can test these, of course, you put them in an email and see. So what you can do is you could do, and obviously it's difficult if you've got a series of them because that people tend to die off in their opening of the emails. You really want to be able to test it at the front. And obviously the best way of testing is to spit test it properly with two headlines and then and send the traffic to it and see which one converts by putting a tracking link on the page. But you know, one thing you can do is actually do it with emails, because obviously emails is quite good because you've only got that headline to give to people. That's all they see.
Yes, the subject line, which you either press delete or read it or save
yeah,
for
exactly.
later.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Where later never comes. It's like my email inbox.
No, that's right. Yeah, you end up just archiving them all.
Yeah, and the same goes for web pages, because the title of the web page is what you see before you even get to your web page, because that's what shows up in Google results.
Of course,
so that's
yeah.
That's your headline again.
Yeah, indeed. So this whole point that you're making, that the headline is so important, it's proven by all those things. Okay, is there anything else you'd like to add about sales pages?
It's very easy to get into detail and think I've got to get it 100% perfect, whereas the trick really is to get it out there and test it, because you won't know. I don't know if you've seen any of these split tests where they show you two different headlines and say which pulled better.
Yeah.
You get those at seminars sometimes and things like that, and most of the time the audience get it wrong, because until you actually try it in real life, you don't know.
No, that's right. Yeah,
so
that's...
rather than spending weeks on it, just get something up there, get some kind of response and tweak after that.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's interesting. This WSO that I'm launching tonight, it's basically, just in case people didn't realise, it's a website that is selling a $7 product. That sounds like low value, but, you know, low cost. It is. It's a step-by-step videos to build a website, and this website performed very, very well. I did a split test with another marketer to a 30,000 list, his list, and it pulled at 10%, which was incredible. But if you look at the headline on there, I'll just give the URL so that people can look at it. It's rickmort, rickmort.com/ and capital MSM-WSO/. And that headline on there, it basically says this: psst, want to know a secret that will literally explode your income overnight? And that is the headline that pulled really, really well. And if you look at the other three websites that it was tested against, they're much more normal headlines. I was quite surprised. I really wanted to change that headline before, but I was persuaded to try it. But it could be, you see, that headline actually isn't very good. And it was the email, maybe. Because obviously it was going to a list, so it was the email that was making the difference. You know, this is the problem. You've got to test everything before you really know what works and what doesn't. So I'm just emphasising the point Trevor just made, is that it's you can agonise and agonise and agonise and try and improve and try and improve and try and improve. And, you know, if you fear perfection, it's actually the opposite way around. You know, you are such a perfectionist that you fear putting something out that which is not perfect, and therefore you never get anything out at all. I suffer from that. Quite a lot of marketers suffer from that. Have you suffered from that, Trevor?
I used to in the past. I've kind of got over it by just doing it and worrying about it later.
Yeah, that's right. So that's the important thing, is just to get it out there, because you can't tell, you know, and that headline could be a killer headline, even though it looks, you know, you think, well, it doesn't seem to do anything. But it has worked on that particular site. So it is interesting, this thing. You know, testing is so important. That really is the big thing. You know, you can't really tell. Obviously, when Ted Nicholas, is it?
Yeah.
When he sets out to write a sales page, he knows what he wants to achieve. He knows where he's going. But what did you say, 4 out of 10?
4 out of 10 is his admitted success rate, so 6 out of every 10 that he creates don't make money.
No, interesting, isn't it? Yeah,
but
interesting.
The ones that do make it in spades.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They're mailed out and they're still mailed out in their millions.
I bet they are, yeah. I bet they are. Okay. Right. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Do it first and perfect it later, definitely. And use either the Marlon's sales letter generator or those free ones on the web, or just start typing and use your own voice.
Yeah, yeah. And you look at other... Look at others, look at the flow of the sales page and the points they're covering.
And look at others and realise there's no single correct style.
No, that's right, yeah.
And try and develop
your own style. Sorry, yeah, I'm interrupting you probably.
Paul Myers doesn't use flashy graphics. Other people, a lot of WSOs use flashy graphics. Television adverts, look at the difference in them. Daytime TV is a completely different advert.
Indeed. In fact, I would actually just like to... add to that, because in my experience the flashy graphics quite often take away from the sales copy. You don't need much sales copy if you've got flashy graphics, because that is so dominating that the words, you know, they sort of fade into the background, whereas when you've just got a plain web page with writing on it, the writing's then important, it's more important. And Matthew Glanford always maintained that when he every time he tested a header, that it pulled better without a header. He did have products with headers on, but that's because he just felt it was needed. But he said that every time he tested one, a header and against no header nearly always won. It was like 95%, or, you know, it's a crazy high figure. And you notice that Sean Mize, who he has some of the roughest sales pages I've ever seen, if you won't mind me saying that, because he knows that's true. And there's no graphics, there's no header, there's no flash sort of website, you know, graphics or anything like that. So it's dead cheap in that terms. But they do their job, because it's all about the writing, it's all about the process of leading somebody from, you know, the catch, the sort of hook, which is the headline, into buying the product.
Yeah, and if you want a load of help, the Gary Halbert newsletter that's up as an archive, when he was alive, he was world class.
Yeah.
Don't get hooked on just do it first and tweak it later, rather than research the next 3 months.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. You know, that's the important thing. If people are, you know, most people on the course have already had that lesson for a few days at least. I mean, I think you, Trevor, you're coming up for the next lesson tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you've had it for nearly a week. So,
yeah.
You know, your colleagues and you know ought to be having that sales letter done now, because you need to get on to the next step. And that's the thing, you know, start finishing it off now.
Yeah, mine's been up and made a sale.
Is it? Very good. Very good.
So, yeah, do it.
Action in action.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing. The thing that makes the difference is action taking. It really does. Action taking, when you take action, you learn something. You learn what works and doesn't work. When you take action, you make a step forward. And when you take action, you might just hit a winner. And the more action you take, the more chance you have of hitting a winner. And you don't know what sales page, you don't know what sales letter is going to convert. You know, maybe you do 9 that are really well thought out, and then 10th one you get a bit fed up and you just do something really off beam and people love it and they buy, you know, something like that. One of the PLR reports that I'm launching tonight as the upsell, I've got the main website, which I've already given the demo version URL about. That's just the main offer. Then there's a whole package of PLR products. One of them's a traffic product called Life Changing Traffic by Michael Chaney. That was an audio webcast that he did quite a few years ago now. And basically what he was talking about was article marketing, but not article marketing as you or I might know it. What he did was he wrote an article called, if I can remember rightly, Attack of the Giant Google Killer Zombies. And he basically was having a go at people, saying that you know, the sort of the point was, Google is not the internet. You know, you don't have to focus on Google. because it was such a catchy headline, because such an interesting headline, and it made such a, you know, a sort of controversial point without being, you know, illegal or anything like that, it spread. And people took it and they published it on their blogs and it went to other articles and people wanted it, and he got a ton of traffic just from that one article, because he just went, you know, a little bit sort of crazy. He's a bit of a crazy guy, Michael, but, you know, a lot of his stuff's like that. It's the crazy guy sort of stuff. He hams that up. That's his personality coming through there. You know, he's used it and he's made a lot out of it. And that's the kind of thing you want. You know, something a bit off beam that really entertains people, really grips people, but still makes the point, and the point's clear. Well, maybe it could be a sales letter like that. I don't know. I've not even tried one like that. But that's the kind of thing. You know, something you just don't know what's going to work. Okay. I think what I'd like to do now is just to talk about the whole process. Let's just think of somebody finding your website. Let's just assume for a minute that they're going to find you on Google, because, you know, that does happen. Sometimes people do drill down on Google and they can find you that way. I get traffic from search engines. It's not enough to set the world on fire, but, you know, I get traffic to websites that I've not done any SEO on at all. Because what happens when somebody searches on Google, they might put in quite a generic term, so quite a broad term in terms of what it's describing. So for instance, let's take the classic one that people always use as illustration, dog training. So if they type in dog training, well, they might want something specific, like a particular kind of dog training, or they might want a particular aspect of training a puppy, like or a dog, like, you know, the fact that it wets the house in the house, and they want to train it, that potty train it. You know, they put in dog training. Well, they're not going to find what they're looking for, quite likely. And it's reckoned that probably somebody would actually type in about 3 times in Google looking for something specific. And what they're doing, they're getting frustrated a bit because that first term doesn't give them what they want. And so they think, okay, dog training a puppy, they put in. And then they start to get things all about puppies. But then they still haven't got the thing about being house trained, how to house train your puppy. And they put that in, finally, third time. And they get what they want, you see. So it's the drilling down. So let's just think about that person then. They've gone to Google. They've got a problem. Their puppy is wetting the carpet, and they want to train it, and they don't know how to do it. So they go on the internet to find an information product. That's the market we're all in. We're all in the information market. That's where the opportunity is on the internet, is in information marketing. And they want the information. They go to Google. They type in 3 different search terms. So they're already getting a little bit frustrated, perhaps. And then they come to your website. And what do they get? They find an opt-in page. They find an offer for a free download of exactly what they need. It can be whatever niche you're in. You know, we're just using this as an example. So they go to the opt-in page, and because it's very targeted and it's matching what they've put into Google, hey, this is exactly what I need, and it's for free. That's wonderful. This chap's going to send me a download. What they do is put my email in. Because their problem is such a big problem, the whole, you know, problem of putting an email address in there, it pales away because they just want the result. So they come onto your list, and then what happens next, and this is of course where we need to put some thought in, and I'm going to make some suggestions here, and I just hope this isn't too confusing, because I have to admit, when I answered the email earlier on, and I did my best to answer in the email, and it was quite a long answer, and I did probably confuse the person, actually, and he did say that he was being very charitable, but I think I did confuse him a little bit, because it's just, there's so many things you can do. Person comes onto you, they put their email in, what do you do now? Now, you could go straight to the free gift, that's one option, isn't it? you could go to another offer, a paid offer. And obviously, if it's something where immediately the free gift is will answer their problem, but in some way the paid offer, it relates to it and adds to it, or it takes it a bit further, or it teaches something in a more definite way, and they can see the difference, then they might buy your paid offer. So suddenly you've got a buyer on your list straight away. Or another way to think of it is like this, and that is you send them directly to the download, and that usually would mean a happier subscriber. You know, if they've gone through that process, which we've imagined it's been a little bit of a frustrating experience, even on Google, which Google do a great job of picking the websites that most fulfill the needs and, you know, look like the kind of content that people are looking for by searching in that term. They do a very good job at that. It's never perfect, of course not, but they do the best they can to give people what they want. But it still can be a frustrating experience if you don't get what you want straight away. They've come on to you, they're elated now because you seem to have what they want, and we're going to assume that you can actually provide exactly what they want. They found a targeted product to them and their problem. So if you give them a chance to buy something, if you try to upgrade them straight away, that can add to their frustration a little bit, and it can irritate them, and also it can put them off you. I'm not saying it necessarily does. Again, you've got to test this. But what I'm saying is that one way of doing this is to be focusing on the emailing. And the reason I mention this is because it's relating in what happens next. The fifth lesson in the coaching is all about emails. It's quite a simple lesson. It's getting you started with email. There's a lot more to come on email. You know, email is the hardest part, effectively. So it's very important. But I'm putting it like this because what I want to put in people's mind is that there's a difference between upgrading somebody and actually having a happy subscriber who's going to start opening your emails and with whom you can build a relationship. If you send them straight to a sales page, I'm not saying that is necessarily the bad thing to do in your niche and in your market and with your product, it might be the right thing to do. But there's a chance that they will think it's not the best thing, it's not the best thing to do with them. There's a chance that you might put them off in some way because they don't really know you. And straight away they're being offered with something they've got to get the credit card out and pay for. You know, there's ways of doing it. And for example, if you had an OTO, and when I say an OTO, a one-time offer, I mean a genuine one. In other words, you have a bit of software or a script, which actually means that when they go to that page, if they click away, they won't see it again. They'll get another page with a higher price. Well, when you present somebody with an OTO, a genuine OTO, in other words, let's just say your product's normally $47, but you're offering it on that page as soon as they've opted in at $27. Well, in a sense, the fact that it's an offer takes over, if you can see what I mean. In other words, as well as the product's offering matching what they want, and as well as your sales copy convincing them that you've got what they need, there's some pressure on them because they've got to make a decision now to get it at the $27, or even, you know, an even bigger jump down if it's a $97 product, perhaps down to $37 or even $27. You know, it's a big jump down, a big saving. That puts a lot of pressure on them to buy it then. So you'll probably get more sales doing that, but at the same time you'll probably get more irritated subscribers and buyers and more refunds, you know, because you're using the OTO to get them to buy. Does that make sense? It's not the sales page so much that's doing it. You're taking away from the sales page in a way by making it an OTO. So let's come back to this option of not doing that and going straight to the download, and now they're on your email list. And now you start selling them in the emails. And what you're doing when you in your emails is you're selling yourself. You're showing them what you can do. You're building credibility with them. You're showing them their products. And one, you're showing them your products, your offerings, and what you can do. And one of the things you need to be careful there is offering something too cheap at that point, because then they're going to think of you as that kind of a marketer. If you offer a $7 product, they'll think of you as a $7 marketer. If you offer a $97 product, they'll think of you as a $97 marketer. If you offer a $1,000 product, they think of you as a $1,000 marketer. Now, I know some niches perhaps can't support that kind of high-ticket product. I understand that. But a lot can. And a lot of marketers in internet marketing are selling themselves short, because they're doing WSO after WSO. They're selling this thing, whole package of products. What happens when someone buys a package of products? They might be after one, which is why they buy it, or one or two, and they use those. The rest go to waste or gets just stick on the hard drive. You know, this is the kind of thing that's happening. It's not targeted at all, but this is what marketers are doing. In the desperation to monetize their business, they're actually discounting. There's like a discount war going on in internet marketing. And what Sean's doing, he's going the opposite direction. You know, I'm saying that because obviously I'm doing that as well, but not to the extent he's done it. He's done it for a long time. I'm only really getting going now. And but I can see the logic of it, and I'm following that trend and that way of doing things. He's going the opposite direction. That he's offering higher end products. A, he's able to produce them. A, he knows what he's talking about and he's able to teach at that level. But people see him then, as a high-end, high-ticket marketer. And if they want to work with him, they want to get his products and get the benefit of his knowledge and help, they're going to have to pay. And straight away, they've got this idea in their mind that it's going to cost them to work with Sean, you see. So this is what these emails are doing. You're doing more than just selling to them. You're opening their eyes to possibilities. You're motivating them to take action and to work with you. And what you want them to be thinking is, I want to work with Richard. I want to work with Trevor. I want to work with whoever it is. You become the big person in their estimation, in their eyes, and in their perception. And that's what you're looking to do. And the reason I'm mentioning it like this is because the more seamless you can get that experience, the better. Going from the traffic source, in this case we're talking about putting the keywords into Google, getting onto your list, downloading your offering, getting your emails, opening your emails, reading your emails, clicking the links, maybe to a blog, maybe to download a product, maybe to a high price offering, interacting with you, answering questions, giving them assignments. I mean, one thing you can do, for example, is you can, as part of your entry, where you just get to opt in. So in other words, there's no money taking changing hands. It's just a free offering. You structure it in such a way that they have an email course. You can just offer the email course as the free gift, but I would suggest that you really want something with quite a lot at the front end that they can download straight away and benefit from, and then the email course is adding to that, giving them assignments and tasks and things and get interaction. You know, a bit like the coaching course, but at a lower level, and you know, to get the interaction, to get them thinking in the right way. You've got to be careful in how you do that. I mean, it's always good to give content, and just as a word of encouragement there, when you give your best, in other words, you don't charge for it, you don't need to worry, because people don't take it very seriously. This is the thing. This is why the emails are so important, is you've got to catch them straight away and start to interact with them and get them hooked in even more into you. You know, you have to remember that the free gift isn't going to do it. The whole purpose of giving the free gift is to get them onto your list, show them what you can do, maybe get them a result if they actually take action with it, and then so on. It's a process you're leading them through, and like I'm saying, the more seamless you make that whole experience, this is a theory, but what my experience bears this out, and I think probably a lot of other people would support this, the more seamless it. In other words, it's a process you're taking them through. You know, sometimes you could put an email in your email campaign which really jars because it goes against your style. You know, maybe you've taken you've bought some emails and you've used one because you like it, but you've not edited it at all because you like it as it is, and you haven't really thought, hang on a minute, that is totally against my style. And they hit that email and suddenly it jars, you know, like they've hit a wall, because it's not seamless, it's not guiding them, it's not leading them on, it's not drawing them through into the experience of following you, opening your emails, buying your products and working with you. And that's really what you want. So this is all to say that don't underestimate the power of the emails and this next lesson. You know, don't think, okay, you've made your product, that's great, got your sales page, now the emails, it's just a sort of a task to do. It isn't. It's to be seamless. You know, the product, the sales letter, and the email should all match, almost like be a package, in a sense. The more you can make it a package, the better. Even if you're selling affiliate products or you're selling your own products in the emails, you know, it's part of the package, part of the whole sort of course of things. And, you know, it's interesting how with the coaching, it's always difficult to make a one-size-fits-all program. You know, some people have really struggled with audio. We're persevering with it because it is, in fact, the best way to learn, is to listen and to take notes. That is the best way to learn. But not everybody can do that. Not everybody finds that very easy. And for some people, it's too much of a struggle. You know, we just have to admit that. You can't make a one-size-fits-all thing. And so you can have these modules where you have the basic program you're leading somebody through, and then they come and they see a module, and that might suit one person, and then the next one might suit another person, you see. And of course, those two different people are going to buy the different product. You see, it's like a sort of modular system. Now, you might say, well, that goes a little bit against the seamless thing. Well, yes and no. It needs to be seamless and yet modular. You've got to get that balance right between the different components of your whole product offering. I mean, let's just take your whole knowledge base and your whole product offering as you're planning it at the moment. I mean, I've been working on a long-term plan to make 4 products based on the feedback from the coaching and what people need. For example, right at the beginning, people are very, very keen on that 30-day expert training. A lot of people have benefited from that. So I can see a need there, but not everybody does. Some people would decide on their niche, but then some people are looking at niches and thinking, well, I'm not quite good enough, so I need the expert training. So I will have done a good job if I can provide a coaching program that actually caters for both those people. The person who's chosen the niche and knows what they're doing and doesn't need that expert training to get them up to speed in their niche, and the person that does. And they can both come onto my list or be subscribed or pay for the product, go on the coaching, whatever it is, doesn't matter. That's the basis. But the modules are how I make it different. And at the same time, have that seamless experience for as many people as possible. You know, this is the whole thing. And of course, like we were saying at the beginning, that all has to be tested and tracked and watched and monitored. Okay. Trevor, you've got anything to add to that?
I think you've covered quite a lot of ground, so nothing springs to mind at the moment.
Okay, well, that's good. But thank you.
The main thing is do it and test it. But do
yeah,
it
thank you.
In that order. Do it first.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's the thing that, you know, I hope it wasn't too intensive. I did try and sort of repeat myself a little bit to try and emphasise things. But I think, you know, to summarise, it's the whole idea of everything flowing one to another. You know, your sales page relates to your product. When somebody goes onto your list, it relates to your free offering, and it relates to who you are and what you can do for them. The whole thing is all related, and it's not off-beam. This is, of course, the danger of selling affiliate products. Affiliate products are great if you're just getting going and you haven't got your own products, and you can find products that match what you're trying to achieve, and you can put them into your email program and promote them. But obviously, when you do that, if somebody buys a product, they go onto somebody else's list, you only get half the payment, maybe, of the product, and so on. You know, there is a disadvantage to it. It's only a temporary fix, really. This is like the whole thing, that the thing you really want is the your own products, a funnel with your own products at different levels of teaching, different price levels, and so on. Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll end the call there then, and we'll just open up the call for questions and answers. Just bear with me a minute.